D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful, stress-free start to your commute home. The weekend is here. Thank goodness for that. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Tim. Tim, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Derek, what you were saying about Cam, I mean, first of all, we had the number one pick in the draft. I do not think Cam Ward was the best player available in the draft. Mm-hmm. That being said, I didn't have a lot of – I wasn't thinking he was going to win 8, 9, 10 games. I wanted 3 or 4. That would have been good with that. But what I'm worried about is – if you look at him at this last game and the first, it seems to me as he's regressed. He's not progressed.
Thank you for the call, Tim.
Thank you for calling. That last game was bad across the board.
But the game before it.
Yeah, was good across the board, at least for Cam.
Was arguably his best game of the season.
Exactly. So what you're seeing is, and thank you for the call. Appreciate it. What you're seeing is just a rookie quarterback on a bad team having some ebb and flows. He's had more downs than ups this season, if you're talking about numbers and whatnot. But the Titans still see development in him. And again, I understand it's not noticeable to the point where, you know, the fans can see it each and every week. But, you know, in their minds, he is developing as a quarterback. But, yeah, you're right. Last week's game, it just wasn't good. I said it. That game last week, I was embarrassed, and they should have been too. So I'm not saying anything that I'm saying. I don't think that they would have walked into that locker room and said to themselves, like, that was just an embarrassment out there. And you're right. The quarterback didn't play well overall, and neither did the team overall. Now, there was some good play in the midst, but the bad play overshadowed whatever good play they had, especially with Jeffrey Simmons. His good play was overshadowed by the bad play. So I'm with you. It did seem like a regression last week, but not just for Cam, for everybody. You had fumbles, you had drop balls, you had everything. So he needs to come out and reestablish himself this week. He needs to come out. And again, it's not about wins and losses at this point. It's he needs to get back on track. Last week he got off track. The team didn't help him stay on track, but he didn't help himself either, if you're talking about the big scheme of things. But this week he needs to find some way, or they need to find some way to get him back on track again. It doesn't need to equal a win, even though I would like it, but he needs to not look like he did last week, or they need to not look like they did last week.
Well, that will be easier said than done against the Cleveland Browns defense, and specifically Myles Garrett, who has 19 sacks through 12 games this season. The most sacks by a player ever through 12 games. He has more sacks on his own than the Bengals do, the Panthers do, and the 49ers do individually. This man has 14 sacks in his past 5 games. It's insane what we are witnessing right now with Myles Garrett. So this may be a question. Spoiler alert, it will be a question for Take It to the Bank at the end of the program. But let's just toss it around the room to start. Willie, how many sacks do you think Myles Garrett is going to have on Sunday?
I think the way that they use Myles Garrett, they're able to move him around. You don't know where he's going to be sometimes. They try what they can. They do what they can to have him attack the weakest link. And I think the way the Titans have been running the ball recently, which is not good, is going to set them up into some bad situations where they're just flat out not going to be able to block him. So I think they're going to game plan to throw the ball quick, get it out quick a lot, which will make it tough. But I'd be stunned if he had less than 2. And I think 4 or 5 is in play. But I'll say 2.
Derek, how many sacks is Myles Garrett going to have on Sunday?
Wow. I've seen Myles Garrett, and I've seen him go up against some of the best offensive linemen, and he hasn't taken a backseat to anyone. So with that being said, listen, Willie said it right. Schwartz do a phenomenal job with moving Myles Garrett around. whether it's him on the left, right, you know, him landing up in the middle, him landing up as a linebacker. They do creative things to make sure you can't get a bead on what Myles Garrett is doing, to the point that it may allow other guys to get production, and that's what you got to worry about. The last time we saw Myles Garrett here, for some reason, you know, the coach decided that, you know, Vrabel decided that he wouldn't double-team Myles Garrett, and we saw what happened. We saw exactly what happened in real time. I'm sure the game plan versus Myles Garrett is wherever he lines up, we're double-teaming him. I don't care wherever if he rushes the passer, make sure we have four eyes on him, you know, four arms on him. Hell, if you can throw some feet in there, throw some feet in there. Because it starts with Myles Garrett and it ends with Myles Garrett on that defense. And if you can't block him, you're going to have a long day. And we've seen teams do exactly what the Titans are going to try to do. Throw quick, double team him. And what has Myles Garrett done even with that? Get sacked. So, listen, this young man can have upwards of five sacks Sunday. He could. It's not like I've never seen him have, you know, multiple sacks in games. I hope it doesn't get to that point, but more than likely he'll have over three.
By the way, Myles Garrett, 7.5 sacks in 4 career games against the Tennessee Titans.
How many sacks does he have versus Moore? That's the thing.
Well, you know what? What a great segue that is, because Pro Football Focus has those numbers for you. In their 8 career matchups, Garrett generated at least 3 pressures against Moore's Steelers in every game and recorded 1 sack per contest. Notably, 7 of his 8 sacks in those meetings came when he was lined up directly across from Moore.
Yeah, you ain't going to block him. You're not going to block him with one person. And
it's going to be a long day for Dan Moore.
It's going to be a long day for Dan Moore. It's going to be a long day for J.C. Latham because he hadn't played well this season. And he's been getting pushed around. He's going to have his hands full. But I think that those backs are going to have to do a good job at, you know, blocking out the backfield and, you know, those tight ends. And listen, our tight ends are not the greatest at blocking, but they're going to have to do a great job this week at helping out with those chips and leaving an extra guy in. You look at it and say, well, they can pass the ball. They can throw quick passes. No, because their secondary is pretty good too. And they know exactly what you're going to do. They're going to try to go to the quick passing game. And it's not going to be good if they just look to the quick passing game to beat beat Cleveland, because eventually they're going to sit on everything that you throw. And you're going to put Cam Ward in a position where he may end up throwing 2 or 3 interceptions come Sunday because you're trying to stick to the quick passing game. And eventually Schwartz is too good of a defensive coordinator in this league, one of the best to ever do it. If you're going to sit there and throw the ball quick, he's going to make you pay for it.
When the Titans faced the Cleveland Browns in Week 3 in 2023, Browns won 27-3. Myles Garrett had 3.5 sacks.
Listen, we thought, was the offensive line better then? I don't know.
Skyler points out that the Titans tried to single up Andre Dillard on Myles Garrett, LOL.
Yeah, they did. And you see all what happened.
Bad.
It was bad. Real bad. It ended up in the turnover, didn't it?
It ended the half.
It
was a game where they should have had points at the end of a half, a game that was still within reach. And
nobody wanted to block
Myles Garrett. Play. They wanted to take a shot at the end zone, and Dillard could not block. Garrett, sack, clock runs out. No field goal.
Oh, man.
See? No points.
There you go. So I'm sure, because we go into every meetings, we go into the meetings on Wednesday, and I'm sure they pointed this out Monday, that the only face that needs to be on that projector is Myles Garrett's face.
Matthew from Jolton says, think you meant to say Mandor. That's a Robbie and Rex Road thing. He's not Dan Moore. He's the Mandor on Robbie and Rex Road weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 102.5 The Game. One texter says, if the Titans don't attempt any passes, Garrett will still have 4 sacks.
That's bad business right there.
One texter says he's going to break the single season sack record probably in the first quarter, excuse me. So he's at 19. The record is 22.5, shared by Michael Strahan and TJ Watt. So that means Garrett needs 4 full sacks to break the record.
And who's coaching their defense?
Jim Schwartz.
And where did Jim Schwartz spend a lot of his time? Here in Nashville.
Nashville.
You don't think he wants Myles Garrett to get that that record here in Nashville? Oh, hell yeah, he does. It's a possibility.
Yes. It is possible.
I am not going to rule out 4 sacks in the first quarter for Myles Garrett. I think it might be.
4 in the first quarter would be really something. But I think 4 in the game is very realistic.
Absolutely.
Very realistic.
One texter says, if Dan Moore is on him, expect a lot of holding fouls to be called on the Titans.
I hope not, but
that's an interesting stat, Adam. You could probably find this quicker than I can. But
sure,
how many holding penalties has Myles Garrett drawn?
Ooh, man. That's a good question.
It's not the same as a sack because you get the down over, but I think it's another mark of a dominant pass rusher. Like you either hold him or he's going to get a sack. It's your choice. And Dan Moore has elected to hold, like when he was going against Nick Benito and some of those guys on Denver, some of the early games where he was really struggling, that was his option. Just hold.
One texter says, you should read those PFF numbers again, Adam, because there are Dan Moore truthers out there, Steelers fans, who will tell you that Dan Moore owned Myles Garrett. I can't say I watched a lot of Steelers-Browns games when Dan Moore was on the Steelers, so I can't
tell
you.
Well, the Steelers did what the Titans need to do, double team him. No matter where he goes, if he walk in a locker room, you have 2 people on him. No matter what.
If he goes in the bathroom, two people are right there.
He get off that bus, make sure 2 people are right there.
I'm sure Miles is used to it.
Exactly. Give him 3 people.
He'd be like, nothing new for me. Four, I'll still get my sacks.
The man looks like he was chiseled out of stone. I mean, when I think of a football player, I imagine Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and it gives Titans – nightmares, I'm sure, give the Titans nightmares. But, I mean, this is an opportunity. As much as we talk about how dominant Myles Garrett has been, and he's been that way his whole career, it's just not this year. He's just been superhuman at this point. But, you know, this is an opportunity for this offensive line to really, show their quarterback that, you know, we got you. And we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that, you know, Myles Garrett isn't the one that's wrecking our offense. So this is an opportunity for them to do that. And again, this is an opportunity for that offense as a whole. They're going up against another top-ranked defense. This is an opportunity for you to, you know, grow. Because, you know, fortunate – or unfortunate, however you want to say it. Fortunate, you know, for me, when I was first couple of years, we went against, in practice, the best defense in the National Football League, you know, over my career with, you know, playing against Blaine and all those guys. So there were things that we were used to. So going out and playing a regular game, it was like, okay, they're good, but hell, we go against these guys every day. Cam and the offensive line doesn't have a benefit of that. They don't have the benefit. They have the benefit of going up against Jeffrey Simmons, and that's good in itself, or great in itself. But to be able to go against a top-ranked defense in practice, it does a lot for you, and they just don't have that luxury. And you just wonder why Cleveland's offense isn't better when they had the opportunity to go against their top-ranked defense.
One texter says, when is the last time the pass blocking has been this bad all around the NFL? Is the pass rush really that much better, or is there something about all of the young quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think it's just these guys have gotten bigger, stronger, and faster. That's basically what it is. And, you know, these defensive ends are running like linebackers now. And they work on their craft like a doctor heart doctor works on his craft. And these guys are so good now that man, even if you do have a good offensive line, somehow, some way, the good to great defensive coordinators are going to figure it out. And that's what Schwartz has been able to do with this Browns defense. He has the best defensive player in the National Football League, and he's been able to figure it out how, even you knowing that I have the best player and you're going to double team him, still figuring out how to get him free and get sacks.
By the way, this is a big game in the Tankathon sweepstakes. The 1-11 Titans versus the 3-9 Browns. At the moment, Cleveland is fifth in the draft order. Of course, the Titans are number one. So as Chuck on our text line says, I want to see him have a good game, meaning Cam Ward, but I don't want to see a win. Other than making some people feel good at the moment, what good does winning do in the long run? They need draft capital. I'm with you, Chuck. I don't want this Tankathon draft order to be ruined by the Titans pulling out a win. I want Cam Ward to survive Myles Garrett. I want him to play well. But I do not want anybody threatening the Titans on Tankathon.com. That would make me very, very sad. 615-737-1025. We'll throw out the question to you. How many sacks is Myles Garrett going to have against the Titans on Sunday? Willie, what did you say? You said three?
I said two.
You said two. Derek?
Yes.
I would say three.
Okay. I'll save mine for Take It to the Bank.
Well, why did you ask us to give us ours?
Yeah. Yes. Why do we have to reveal
exactly.
our cards?
Exactly. My goodness, Adam.
Because I'm in charge here. I'm the captain now. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL
like
Game
the
of the Week.
Who drove up on Tom Hanks's boat. I'm
precisely. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Bengals versus the Bills at noon on 102.5 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. D-Mace, Finn, Gidendonic, 102.5 The Game. Willie, would you like to explain the meaning behind this song selection?
I don't know if there's a meaning here. It's just a good song. This is a Teddy Swims, so I just like his voice. He's good.
Well, so the reason why I picked it was because it says it's Bad Dreams, and since we're talking about Myles Garrett, it's Bad Dreams for the Tennessee Titans.
That is true.
Leave it to David, a philosopher,
yes,
to come up with a deeper meaning.
You're welcome.
For Teddy Swims.
So from
nice work, Dave.
So from ESPN.com, when Myles Garrett crouches on Sunday at Huntington Bank Field waiting to perfectly time his get-off in pursuit of Titans rookie quarterback Cam Ward, there will be a number scribbled onto the tape wrapped around his wrists, 25. For two decades, the number on the minds of any aspiring great pass rusher was 22.5, the single-season sack record shared by T.J. Watt and Michael Strahan. However, the heights and sacks Garrett has reached this season have forced him to think even bigger, and the 25 printed on his tape will be a reminder of that. So he's not just looking for four sacks. He's looking for like seven.
Yeah. Well, remember the controversy that happened with Strahan and the whole thing about
was that
Brett
Favre?
Allowing him to get the last sack. It was a freebie. And Mark Gastineau, a few years ago, they did a 30 for 30 on the Jets. Mark Gastineau had the record previously, and he went up to a collecting. They were at the same collector show or something, signing autographs, and he just called him out with this emotional tirade years and years later. Mark Gastineau is a cut from a different cloth, for sure.
And then I believe he sued ESPN and the NFL for the footage of his confrontation with Brett Favre, I'm not mistaken.
And they couldn't resist. They had, and it's just a great lesson of there's no such thing as off the record. If you do something and it's on camera, it's going out there. But like I think Myles Garrett is not going to need a free sack to get this record. I think he's going to get it pretty easy.
So let's focus on someone else on the offensive line for a moment. We were talking about Dan Moore, and I imagine that Myles Garrett is going to be lined up quite a bit against Dan Moore on Sunday. But how concerned are we about J.C. Latham long-term? There was a lot of unflattering footage of J.C. Latham last week against Josh Hines-Allen of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Myles Garrett could see some J.C. Latham on Sunday. I was looking at J.C. Latham's Pro Football Focus numbers. This season, he's allowed 20 pressures, 12 hurries, one quarterback hit, and seven sacks. He allowed seven sacks all of last season, so he's already matched that total through however many games he's played because he did miss the first few games of the season. So
but that's not good that he missed those games and he still allowed that many sacks. Right.
So how concerned are you, Willie, about J.C. Latham long term based on what you've seen from him so far this season?
I'm definitely concerned. I'm not giving up on him. He's still young, but I want to see the steps forward. What we really don't know is how much the hip injury has just completely derailed what he's doing. I haven't, just like with Tavondre Sweat, I'm hoping for it each week. I'm looking for the guy. He's easy to spot. I'm looking for something. Give me something, big fella. But I'm trying to be fair and say these were pretty serious injuries, so the progress isn't linear, but it has to be a fear that he doesn't turn into the cornerstone. Because they've already moved into right tackle, which is fine with me. I'm not all hung up on he's got to play left tackle. But I want him to be a really good right tackle. So here's what I don't know, D-Mace. How is J.C. Latham now evolving as the professional? How much is he working on? Is he getting there early? Is he determined? Is he going to make it one way or the other? Or is he just going to be a guy? I don't know him well enough. I heard all these great things about him as a person. A lot of great articles have been written. He lost all the weight, mm-hmm. right? All of that stuff. But he's been hit with a lot of adversity, mm-hmm. and it can go one of two ways.
Yeah, it can. Listen, his career is just starting, but it hadn't started off on a good note. He struggled somewhat at left tackle. And then they put him to right tackle, and he's had some injuries. And since he's come back, he still struggled. But then also, you got to think they've changed, O-line coaches on him. Callahan decided to leave when his dad got fired. So did the philosophy change in the offensive line room once Bill Callahan left? Is he sort of regressing now that Bill Callahan isn't there anymore? These are all the questions that are legitimate questions. Because I think when he came back, they had already fired Bill Callahan, didn't they? Well, they had already fired Brian, which then Bill, left as well.
Bill didn't stick around after his son got fired.
Absolutely. So that's a part of it too.
Latham came back.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah. So there's been a lot of things going on in that offensive line room, that building period with the change of coaches, but that offensive line room too.
Latham played the opener against Denver. Mm-hmm. He returned week 6 against the Raiders.
He was already gone. Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the game, right? Yeah. Callahan's last game was the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And so there was one, I guess it was one
game
back.
Yeah, one game back.
That's not
much.
Yes.
That could be what is causing sort of the regression as well. So again, he has an opportunity to, show himself to be a good player and show himself to that he's developing. But this hadn't been his season, and I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm out on the young man, but he's got a lot of, work to do for the remainder of the season and then this offseason. We know he's about to work because, he went into this past offseason, he dropped weight. He came back looking like a much different player. So I feel that discipline and that work ethic is there. Now he just needs to come back and be a better, right tackle, a better version of himself. Because right now he has taken a step back. But who hasn't on his team?
It's hard. He's on a team that is flooded mm-hmm. with people not having great years. So
but that's still no excuse. He needs to play better.
No,
yes.
You want him to be the guy that breaks through. Mm-hmm. And what gives me hope, Adam, is that he came into the league really young. I've made this point a bunch of times, but he's still younger. He has not turned 23 yet. He's still 22. And so that makes him younger than a lot of college offensive linemen. And here he is in his second year. So there's time for him to turn into a really good player. That's why I ask about the intangibles, the work ethic, does he see this through all of the adversity that he's faced?
College conference championship weekend this weekend. And Paul Kaharsky of paulkaharsky.com, of course, you can hear him on our station every week with Robbie and Rex Road. He asked an interesting question. Quote, Nashville football conundrum. Fernando Mendoza lighting it up against Ohio State would help his draft value and could aid the Titans in a trade back scenario, but it would hurt Diego Pavia's Heisman bid at Vanderbilt. Less of a question, more of a theory. But I thought that was interesting. Which would you take?
I mean, I would choose for him to flop against Ohio State and then go into the playoffs and then have a great run and lead Indiana to the Final Four.
Because by then the Heisman Trophy voting would have been complete.
Right, because you got to get your votes in. I don't know what the deadline. It's after the games on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
The deadline.
A day or two after.
The voting window, according to Nicole Auerbach, the voting window for the Heisman Trophy starts Saturday at 4 Central and is open until Monday at 4 Central.
So. Right. So in other words, the playoffs don't influence the voters. So you have to have the vote in by now. You could have the greatest playoff of all time.
Yeah.
And it would help your draft stock in theory, but it wouldn't do anything to the Heisman. So that's my perfect storm.
Willie, I mean, that's not Willie. You already told us. Derek, yours.
Listen, I want the Titans to be able to have the ability to get as many picks as they possibly
can. But even at the expense of Diego Pavia?
I want Diego to win the Heisman. I do. But I want this team to get picks, too. So I'm kind of like Willie.
Right.
I hope that he doesn't have a great game. But then he comes back and have a terrific, you know, playoffs and lead his team to at least the championship game and play well in that. So I think that we will then be able to get both our, you know, we'll be able to have our cake and eat it too. If you know, Mendoza doesn't play well, but end up winning a national championship. And then that means Diego wins the Heisman, hopefully.
What are y'all's expectations for the SEC title game between Georgia and Alabama? ESPN points this out. Kirby Smart's win rate versus Alabama, 14.3%. Versus all other opponents, 85.3%. Smart has almost as many losses to Alabama, 7, as he does to everyone else combined, 13.
I think Georgia gets out on Alabama. Alabama comes back.
There is a revenge factor in this.
Makes it a game, but I still think Georgia wins. I think Georgia's the better team, you know, from top to bottom, at least offensively and defensively. I think Georgia wins the game. But where does that put Alabama? Does that put them out then?
I would say – go ahead, Willie. Go ahead.
If it's a close game. If it's a blowout, I think they're gone.
I think if they lose close, they're not going to get penalized for that.
That's what I'm saying. If they get blown out, yes. But if they lose a field goal game or a one-point game, do you think the committee still votes them in?
What I am hoping for, Willie, is whatever provides the most, as we know, maximum chaos. And I think this is what I think it involves. I think it involves, I don't know if these two things work together, but it would be BYU upsetting Texas Tech and Alabama losing big to Georgia. I don't know if throwing a Duke win in there also makes it more muddied, but whatever screws up the CFP final bracket is what I'm rooting for. I don't know what results that will require.
You know, it just this is again me still crying in my beer about the Juracek and stuff.
Last BYU, call, Willie.
It is last call. BYU, a 12.5-point dog in a conference championship game. On a neutral field, sort of neutral, right? It's in Texas, and they're playing Texas Tech, but and BYU's ranked 11th. Do you think Vanderbilt in that stadium would be a 12.5-point dog? No way. Nick Saban was calling that stuff out last year, but I think Alabama. It would be hard because what does Alabama have? They've got the brand. Right, and Alabama will get the benefit of the doubt as long as they don't get run right out of the building. And I don't think there's any chance they're getting run out of the building. They've already beaten Georgia one time, so they'll get in with three losses. Vanderbilt's not getting in with three losses.
Oh, that's tough.
BYU's not getting in with three losses. You know, but Alabama will.
Man, so even if they
I think right, who would jump them?
It depends on if it's a close loss.
Well, if Alabama were to lose big to Georgia,
uh-huh.
would Notre Dame jump Alabama? But then again, that might also mean that Miami jumps Alabama, and then Miami beat Notre Dame head-to-head. So does that finally come into play?
Look, Miami has no business being in this conversation. None.
But they are.
I will take a three-loss Alabama over Miami all day. SEC snobbery. But it's true. The SEC is better. The ACC was not a good league. You can only take one team from the ACC to me. That's all they deserve.
But look, I heard what Mitch Light said earlier. I'm still not convinced if Duke pulls off an upset against UVA that Duke is getting it.
If you base it on conference champions, why wouldn't they?
I don't know. Man, that would be quite the look if an 8-5 Duke team made the college football playoff.
Hey, man.
I mean, I wouldn't
anything is possible.
I wouldn't hate it, but I would also understand how absurd it is on its face.
Right. It would be known as the Duke rule. They'll change
yeah.
the rule.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just not give the automatic bid.
That's why I think the commissioner of the ACC is secretly rooting for Virginia tomorrow. Because if Virginia wins, Virginia has a somewhat legitimate case of being in the college football playoff.
They only have one loss.
Right. So
they would only have one loss.
Two. They have two.
Oh, they have two?
Yeah, they're 10-2.
Okay. I'm trying not to get.
Virginia's not that good. Virginia's not that good.
Yeah.
They're going to get run right out of the building by whoever they play in the first round.
Well, we'll see what happens. Conference championship weekend this weekend. The SEC title game, Georgia and Alabama. The Big Ten title game, undefeated Indiana, undefeated Ohio State. The Big 12 title game, Texas Tech and BYU. The ACC title game, Virginia versus Duke. A lot of interesting football games to watch this weekend. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank. We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingen, and Dynick, 1025. The game, Willie Dynick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Before we take it to the bank, Derek brings to my attention that Diego Pavia has won the 2025 Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award.
Oh.
So congratulations to Diego Pavia on winning that award.
Is that good for his Heisman?
Good question.
You know, for the Heisman race? Is that good? I wonder how many Heisman Trophy winners recently quarterbacks have won both the Heisman and the
Johnny U
Award.
And how many voters vote for both?
Yes.
That's a good question.
I think if he wins the Player of the Year award, mm-hmm. which I forget what the name of it
is.
Is that the Walter Camp?
The Walter Camp. If he wins the Walter Camp award, the last five have won the Walter Camp award as well.
Okay. So that's the award we're waiting on.
And the quarterbacks, it's the Walter Camp and I think Johnny Unitas as well.
Okay.
The recent winners of the Johnny Unitas award, Shador Sanders last season, Jaden Daniels in 2023. Max Dugan of TCU in 2022. Kenny Pickett in 2021. He certainly did not win the Heisman Trophy.
He definitely didn't win the Heisman.
So,
no, not at all.
So congratulations to Diego Pavia.
I'm happy for that young man.
It's been fun to watch him these past couple of years. It will be sad that we won't be able to watch him after he plays.
But we'll be able to watch Jared Curtis.
That's true. That's true. Let's take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. David Janes, let's recap last week.
All right, so one of our main general questions was over under 65.5 total points Vandy at UT. So they both did score 65 total points. I think it was 69 total points, I believe. It was like, what, 45-24, so 69 total points. So me, D-Mace, and Willie all said the over. Adam, unfortunately, you said the under, so you did not get a point off of that.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then we had Will Cam Ward run at least 5.5 rushing attempts. He only got one rushing attempt. and me and Adam said over. That did not happen. William D. Mace, you both actually got both questions correct.
I had a rough weekend.
Yeah, you're not going to escape this, so I have to do this to you because I do this to everyone.
Go for it.
You had a 0 for you had a goose egg.
I deserve that.
So, yeah, that wasn't your best week. You said that DK would have 4 catches and a touchdown. I think he only got one catch. I believe
he did have a fumble on the kickoff.
That's true. That's not a touchdown, but that is a fumble. Yeah, and you also said that all the home teams will win on Thanksgiving.
No, I think 2 of them.
Only one. It was the Cowboys. My Ravens.
0.
Suck.
Move on. I don't want to hear anymore about it.
I do too. So, and Willie, you said so. You had 58 total points. I gotta do that.
Okay, still at 58.
So, Willie, you said the Lions -3 and the Chiefs -3.5. Both of those did not hit.
I know. I'm 0-for-2 on Thanksgiving Day.
But
very
you got your four points from the general questions for a total of 76 total points.
Okay, Derek,
still setting the pace.
Yeah, you're still doing good. I'll get to it later. Now, D-Mace, you had a great week.
Woo-hoo!
You had a great week. You said Vandy would rush over 200 yards.
And they did.
They, in fact, rushed over 300 yards.
Boom.
Diego Pavia and Cedric Alexander, they rushed for more than that. For, like, the 200 yards. Like, they hit it just on them.
Man, I love it.
But you said that Diego Pavia would account for 3 touchdowns. He only accounted for 2.
Dang it.
So you didn't get that. But you got a total of 7 points this week for a totality of 52 total points.
Okay, I like that. Still so puts me in last place, huh?
You're still in last place, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But
nowhere to go but up.
You're only 4 points away.
You're there. I'm in striking distance.
Yes. I can't do the math.
Hey, six, four, don't matter. As long as it's not 10, we're good.
Exactly. Now let's go to me. I had a pretty good week as well. I said Vandy men's basketball would make the championship game. They, in fact, won the championship game.
Battle for Atlantis.
And then I said both teams for the UT versus Vandy game would combine for 2 interceptions. Diego Pavia had 2 interceptions. So combined, they both had 2 interceptions. So I got the point off of that on a technicality, but I'll take it for a total of 7 points for 63 total points. So I'm catching up, Willie.
Can I just throw a little sidebar in there with Vanderbilt basketball?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're a wagon.
They're good.
Vanderbilt
is a wagon. Oh, yeah.
I watched them play. They didn't just win the Atlantis tournament, the Battle of Atlantis. They've got some condos and housing developments in Atlantis. That's how much they dominate. They have dominated 3 straight top 50 teams.
An impressive win against SMU the other night.
Yes, the other night. And they've been winning in the same fashion. They come out of the gate strong. They build a big lead. They make them chase, and they hold them off. And usually the lead grows by the end of the game. This is their best team in over a decade. I think you have to go back to Jeffrey Taylor and Festus Ezeli and John Jenkins and that team that had, I think, 4 draft picks. I mean, that was a strong team back then. This team is way better than they were last year. Scary good. Their KenPom is 7 right now. That's a team that not only is going to be good, but they're going to be fun to watch. I'm really curious to see if they can get the Memorial Magic atmosphere to where it should be for a team this good.
Also, coming up at the top of the hour, Gonzaga versus Kentucky at Bridgestone Arena. So an interesting top 25 matchup downtown. But let's get to this week's Take It to the Bank. Let's start with the main event. Tomorrow, 11 a.m., Fox, number 4, Duke, 9-0. At number 7, Michigan State, 8-0. Duke, favored by 1.5. Who you got, Willie?
I think this is going to be a question, like it often is with Michigan State, especially early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be able to D up Duke. Michigan State is going to be tough. They're going to play defense. They're always a little bit hit or miss offensively until they sort of figure out everybody's roles, and then usually by the end of the year they have that solved and their offense gets better. So their offensive numbers so far are a little bit pedestrian, so I'm a little concerned, but I am going to go with Michigan State.
You don't even have to ask me. You know where I'm going. I mean,
you're going with Duke, right?
Willie.
Like, come on.
Yes,
I like you, Willie too.
Willie, the audacity that you would make that pick in North Carolina. I know it's Raleigh and not Durham, but how dare you? How dare you?
Because he watched the better team play. He's seen both of them play.
Look, Duke escaped Florida the other night. That was one hell of a game. It sucked in real time. incredibly stressful. But Duke escapes Florida. Isaiah Evans hits a three. It was great theater, which I can appreciate in hindsight now that the game is over. You know which way I'm going with this. Duke, absolutely. I don't know if Cameron Boozer is going to have another 30-piece, but we'll see. David, your choice.
Listen, guys, there's only one coach that I trust in college basketball. That's Tom Izzo.
That's
give
right.
me Michigan State. Go green.
Go white.
So three of y'all are picking Michigan State
absolutely.
On this one?
Why?
Of course.
Of course. Come on,
this
man.
This is even crazier than your Hallmark Sopranos take, which I will never get over. But we'll
man,
see. We'll
listen.
See what happens tomorrow. It's going to be a great game regardless of the result. A great game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Duke at Michigan State, 11 a.m. on Fox. All right. Titans, Browns, Sunday, noon. I teased it earlier. We're going to put a number on it. Myles Garrett has averaged 2.8 sacks over his past five and a half games. Oh, excuse me, five games, not five and a half. 2.5 sacks over his past five games. Over under 3 sacks for Myles Garrett versus the Titans. Willie?
I went on the record of saying 2, so I got to stick with it. I haven't changed my opinion in the last hour. I think the Titans would actually do well to keep him to 2. Like, I would sign up for 2 and just say, okay, he's going to get 2, and that's it. I would sign up for that.
So Willie's going under.
He's
going
to get 2 before the half, Willie.
over under 3, Derek.
I'm saying I think he gets 3. I already said it, so the over.
I'll take the over as well. David?
I'll also take the over.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
All
right.
I'm the only guy that took the under?
Yes.
Yep. Too bad. Wow. So sad.
So let's go to our
end. So if he gets 2.5, I still – win, right? It's over under 3?
Correct.
Yeah,
I said it at 3.
If he gets 2.5, yeah, you get the point.
Yes. So let's go to our individual selections. Speaking of Duke, in football, Duke versus UVA in the ACC championship game tomorrow night. UVA, last I checked, a 4-point favorite. UVA will defeat Duke by at least 2 scores. UVA defeated Duke 34-17 less than a month ago. I don't think this game's going to be that close. Maybe not as lopsided as 34-17, but I think UVA will defeat Duke by at least 2 scores, so at least 9 points. And back to the Titans and Browns, I know saying this means that we're going to have a tough day on Monday with all of the god-awful texts we're probably going to get. Shedeur Sanders will have a higher QBR than Cam Ward on Sunday.
Okay.
Those are my two
QBR
selections.
QBR straight up. Okay.
Yes, QBR straight up. Shedeur Sanders will have a higher QBR than Cam Ward on Sunday. Willie, why don't you go next?
All right, I'm not going to shy away from a couple of big games. I'm going to go Big Ten and SEC title games. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Georgia. Law of averages. I just think they're due to beat Alabama. And I think Adam might get the chaos he's looking for with the debate of do you take a 3-loss Alabama team over whoever you want to get in there now that they've basically ruled Vanderbilt out. Wouldn't it be something ironic, like Clark Lee loses his mind, he said all these things, and Alabama loses, and then somebody else loses. Hey, we've considered Vanderbilt. They're in. You know, I guess it's not official until it is, but I'll take Georgia. And what's the line? Is it Georgia by 1.5?
I will double-check that for you in just a moment. Let's see. Georgia is favored by 1.5, yes.
1.5, okay. So Georgia minus 1.5, and I will also take Ohio State.
Favored by 4.
I'll take Ohio State minus the 4 against Indiana.
Okay. Derek?
All right. I am going college basketball over under Duke and Michigan State. The over under right now is 139.5. I'm taking the under. Both teams are very good on defense. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but my Spartans are going to win. So I'm taking the under in that. The over is, again, 139.5. And then I'm staying with Duke.
Okay.
The football.
Okay.
The over-under. I am taking the under in that one. I think the over-under is 50-something points, if I'm not mistaken. I need to check that.
50-something? I mean, come on.
Willie, let me check
it.
I said let me check it, Willie.
But see how he always tries to slide the loophole.
Whoa!
The over under is 57.5.
The title.
So I'm taking the under.
The title,
I'm taking the under.
57.5.
Okay, the under 57.5. All right.
50-something, I'm taking the under.
So it was 52. He got the under.
Oh, man.
Yes. No, I'm taking the under. It's 57.5. I'm taking the under.
All right, David?
All right, so it's a big rivalry week in the AFC North. It's the Ravens versus Steelers. I think Derrick Henry will finally, like the Ravens will finally just get run the dang ball, and Derrick Henry's going to get two touchdowns. Oh, I pressed the wrong button. He will get two touchdowns against those dang Steelers, those ugly colors. And then, as well, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to say one of my boys who I've known since he was at Oakland High School, Isaiah Horton, will score a touchdown for Alabama in the SEC Championship game. Those are my two picks.
Bold. Okay.
Quite bold.
Degree of difficulty. Keep that in mind.
Everybody remember.
All right. Well, that will do it for us this week. We hope you had a wonderful week. We sure did. We'll be back all together on Monday from the Circa Sportsbook in Kentucky. We will react to the Titans game against the Browns, conference championship weekend in college football. A lot to discuss. And that puts us in the mood right there.
Absolutely. You hear that song? You hear that music? That's all y'all going to be hearing in Duke. It's that music right there.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this Michigan State's fight song? What?
It is.
You know what?
Yes, they do it right away.
You know what? Here. Okay, yes. Hold on. I want everybody to agree to this before we leave. If Duke wins tomorrow, we are opening the show on Monday with Duke's fight song.
Okay. Yes, we can do that. Yes.
Okay, no. Adam.
And if Michigan State wins,
I got my Magic Johnson jersey. You must wear it Monday.
For the whole show?
Yes, for the whole show.
For the whole show.
If Michigan State wins, you got to wear the Magic Johnson jersey for the whole show.
Oh, God. I'll have to come up with.
You got
to
come up with something.
You have a jersey?
You got a jersey or a hat or something?
I've got something I can get Derek to wear. I don't have any jerseys that fit me, which means they probably won't fit Derek either. But we will be back Monday at 3:00 from Circa Sportsbook in Kentucky. You can catch Willie Donick on the Predators call. Predators at Hurricanes tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central, puck drop on FanDuel Sports Network, and of course right here on 102.5 The Game. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you Thursday. Monday at 3:00.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Friday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Have a wonderful weekend. See you Monday, 102.5 The Game. Peace.